Hello again, and welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinzing, episode 277. This is the weekly podcast about American flowers and the people who grow and design with them. It's all about making a conscious choice, and I invite you to join the conversation and the creative community as we discuss the vital topics of saving our domestic flower farms and supporting a floral industry that relies on a safe, seasonal, and local supply of flowers and foliage. This podcast is brought to you by slowflowers.com, the free nationwide online directory to florists, shops, and studios who design with American-grown flowers, and to the farms that grow those blooms. It's the conscious choice for buying and sending flowers. Welcome to the final Slow Flowers podcast of 2016. Last year at this time, I mentioned that the Slow Flowers podcast had been downloaded 76,000 times in 2.5 years. Today, I can tell you that 2016's listenership nearly doubled that figure, which means as many people tuned into this weekly episode over the past 12 months than during the previous 30 months combined. That's the best news I could ask for as we reflect on the successes and strides of 2016. Every single week this year, in fact, every single week for 178 weeks, it has been my privilege to feature the voices of our Slow Flowers community with you. You've heard from flower farmers and floral designers, pioneers and personalities who together are changing the floral landscape, disrupting the status quo, and bringing flower sourcing and growing practices, not to mention eco-conscious design methods, to the center of the conversation. As I have done since the beginning of 2014, I would like to dedicate today's episode to the Slow Flowers highlights that we've witnessed this year. Next week, on January 4th, I will share my 2014 floral industry forecast with you. As the Slow Flowers movement gains more supporters and more passionate participants who believe in the importance of the American cut flower industry, the momentum is contagious. I know you feel it too. I'll start with some accolades. ...2016 kicked off with a lovely surprise as the Seattle Wholesale Growers Market honored me with the Growers' Choice Award for outstanding contributions to revitalizing the local floral community. The flower farmers and staff of this innovative farm-to-florist wholesale market are near and dear to my heart, and it's so gratifying to receive their recognition. My efforts to promote and sustain domestic flowers is especially sweet because of those who gave me this award. In September, the Garden Writers Association, my professional community, honored slowflowers.com, the website, with a silver medal in the digital media category. The organization also inducted me into the Hall of Fame, an honor given to one person each year, an unexpected and humbling acknowledgement for my work in gardening communications. And then we come to Valentine's Day. The opportunity for engaging the media in a discussion about American-grown flowers, local flowers, and the origin and growing practices of flowers at Valentine's Day is an obvious one, and we have been vocal about sharing the Slow Flowers story. The 2016 press was major, with Martha Stewart Living's mention of Slow Flowers and the slowflowers.com directory in its February 2016 issue. Here's the text. The benefits of choosing locally grown foods over those from all over the world extends to flowers as well. That's why Garden and Features editor Melissa Ozawa likes slowflowers.com, an online directory of more than 600 florists and flower farms across the U.S. The site offers local blooms in season, for instance, winter tulips or anemones if you're in the Northwest. Have your heart set on classic roses? It also helps users find growers in California and Oregon that ship nationally. There you have it, short and very sweet. Individually, none of us could have earned this type of media attention from a magazine with paid circulation of more than 2 million subscribers, monthly newsstand sales of 115,000 issues, and total audience reach of more than 9 million. The demographics of the Martha Stewart reader are in close alignment with your own floral business. You can feel especially proud of what we've accomplished knowing that the value of this earned media mention is $45,000, something that none of us could have ever afforded if we went out to purchase advertising in this magazine. Look for a full list of the Slow Flowers media mentions in 2016 at the press section of slowflowers.com. It's impressive. As for travel, in 2016, well, I retained my MVP gold status on Alaska Airlines, which means I spent more than 40,000 miles in the air in 2016. Perhaps that's not an accomplishment when it comes to burning jet fuel, but to me, the amount of travel I was able to make on behalf of Floral Promotion, including connecting with many of you, was significant. And to compensate for that travel footprint, I tried to engage with as many flower farmers and florists at every destination. I attended 7 lovely and inspiring field-to-base dinners, serving as co-host and sponsor. Slow Flowers partnered with the Certified American Grown Campaign's Field-to-Base Dinner Tour, which took me to flower farms in California, Texas, Colorado, Pennsylvania, and Washington State. I teamed up with Casey Cronquist, administrator of the Certified American Grown brand, to welcome hundreds of dinner guests who enjoyed local food and local flowers, who heard the Slow Flowers message and met and learned from Slow Flowers member farms and designers. It has been a huge honor to be part of the Field to Vase Dinner Tour for the past 2 years, and I am confident that the dinners helped change attitudes, assumptions, and understanding about the origin of flowers at the center of the table. And a footnote, the Field to Vase Dinner Tour dates for 2017 should be announced soon. Check out links at deborahprinzing.com for more details. At many of my travel destinations, I was able to meet Slow Flowers members and even take part in Slow Flowers meetups. I can't tell you how meaningful it has been to put faces and voices to names I perhaps only before knew via social media. It was thrilling to visit cities and towns where I was welcomed into beautiful shops and studios, as well as onto prolific farms where domestic flowers flourished. Many of those events only took place because you stepped up to host me. And I want to thank the following folks for making connections possible when I was in their hometown. In early February, Gloria Collins of GBC Style hosted me at her Manhattan apartment when I visited New York City. We recorded a podcast episode, and together we took Laura Dowling's design workshop at the Flower School New York. What a fabulous experience. Later that month, for the 3rd consecutive year, I traveled to Washington, D.C. to meet up with a motivated group of American flower farmers for the annual fly-in, sponsored by California Cut Flower Commission and Certified American Grown. I participated in the day-long advisory board meeting for Certified American Grown, where I serve as the consumer advocate. And I joined farmers on visits to meet staff in congressional and Senate offices as we shared the message of domestic and local flowers. And a highlight for Diane Sukavati of Jellamold Farm and me was meeting our own amazing Senator, Patty Murray, and thanking her for the support she and her staff have given to Washington State flower farmers. During my time in D.C., I also hosted a Slow Flowers meetup at Tabard Inn, a beautiful historic venue in the nation's capital. There was a crazy storm that caused some of our members in the Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. areas to miss the event, but we had about 24 together for cocktails and conversation, and I was inspired by the connections made. In March, I was welcomed by the entire North Bay Flower Collective, including my handlers, Nicole Skalski of California Sister and the Sonoma Flower Mart, and Danielle Allian Strawn of Jolie Blooms. I also want to thank my hosts, Sarah and Seth James of Openfield Farm, and Mimi Buckley and flower farmer Zoe Hitchner of Front Porch Farm, who provided me fantastic farm stays. All of this made my 2.5 days feel like a week-long getaway. I recorded numerous episodes for this podcast, and you can find them all by searching North Bay Flower Collective at deborahprinzing.com if you haven't already heard them. This place, the North Bay, and the North Bay Flower Collective is an example of a vibrant micro-community for flower farming and floral design, a model that others are beginning to emulate. In April, I was off to St. Louis, Missouri, where many in the Slow Flowers community welcomed me, including Mima Davis and Miranda Dushak of Urban Buds, Jessica Douglas of Flowers and Weeds, and Vicki Lander and Jack Oglander of Flower Hill Farm. I was there to present at the St. Louis Art Museum's Art in Bloom, which allowed me to put a 100% focus on American-grown and Missouri-grown flowers. It was a fabulous few days. I can't overlook my adventurous co-presenter at the St. Louis Art Museum, Slow Flowers member Andrea K. Grist, who made it extra fun, and she ensured my visit to the famous Gateway Arch. Later that month, I joined Portland's amazing Slow Flowers community as we gathered for a potluck and networking meetup at the Selwood Flower Company. That was possible thanks to my lovely host, Laura Lee Symes, who scheduled the meetup at her shop in Portland's Selwood District, and she lodged me in her charming guest houseboat. How do you like that? The Oregon Slow Flowers community is alive and well and is another fabulous model for collaboration and connection. In May, I had the immense privilege of being part of the team that brought certified American-grown flowers to a very special event honoring First Lady Michelle Obama. The First Lady's Luncheon is an enduring annual tradition produced by the Congressional Club since 1912 to honor the First Lady of the United States. It was attended by over 1,500 people, including congressional spouses, associates of members of Congress, and cabinet members. The Certified American Grown program worked with the Congressional Club's First Lady's Luncheon Committee to help ensure that 100% of the flowers and foliage used during this year's event were American grown, with beautiful stems of flowers and greens from California, Oregon, Washington, Florida, and Virginia. Over 200 centerpieces and arrangements filled the Washington Hilton Ballroom in a theme of posh peach Southern hospitality. The centerpieces were designed by Slow Flowers member Andrea Gagnon of Linvale Studios, a certified American-grown farmer, floral designer, and American Grown Council member. David Beam Experiences of New York carried out Andrea's vision and provided logistical support for this large and prestigious floral installation. Each year, the luncheon supports a nonprofit of the First Lady's choice. Funds raised from this year's event went to the Rosalind Carter Institute for Caregiving, an advocacy, research, education, and service unit that provides support for both professional and family caregivers. Centerpieces were purchased by attendees to help raise those funds. In August, Megan McGuire Bowman and Terry Bowman of Red Daisy Farm in Brighton, Colorado, hosted an unforgettable Slow Flowers barbecue at their beautiful homestead outside of Denver, where so many people attended, including new faces and names who have since joined slowflowers.com. It was a special evening of touring the farm, greenhouses, and antiques-filled barn, followed by dinner under the twinkling lights and stars. The Bowman family hosted me and several others in their cozy guest house, and I felt like it was the best flower vacation ever. The next night, we all enjoyed the lovely field-to-vase dinner held for the second year at my friends Chet and Christy Anderson's farm, the Fresh Herb Company, with florals designed by Slow Flowers members Robin Rissman of Bearroot Flora and Alicia Schwede of Bella Fiori. What a summer dream. Later that month, Teresa and Nezi Sabankaya invited me to stay in their bridal cottage tucked under the trees at their magical Santa Cruz area compound. Teresa and I teamed up for the first Slow Flowers Creative Workshop, a two-day experience that combined writing, storytelling, and floral design. At the end of our workshop, the participants, along with Teresa and I, were delighted to participate in another Slow Flowers meetup at Teresa's Garden, an al fresco summer gathering of kindred spirits. September offered several great opportunities to gather, including Slow Flowers meetups in Hudson, New York, with the Emerging Hudson Valley Flower Growers Network held at the Etsy Annex. And thank you to my host, Mary Beth Waring of Stars of the Meadow Flower Farm, for pulling that off. That evening was followed by two full days in the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill, North Carolina area with inspiring flower farmers and florists, including a few extra generous souls, Jonathan and Megan Leese of Springforth Farm. Jonathan actually instigated the entire schedule. And Maggie Smith of Pine State Flower Company, where I taught a mini session of the Slow Flowers Creative Workshop with her. My lodging was generously provided by Katie Phillips of Posey Flower Farm, another kindred spirit who I'll never forget meeting. October took me to Detroit, where I joined with so many floral industry luminaries, including the extraordinary Lisa Wad, to present at Detroit Flower Week. You can't have missed that excitement online and in Instagram feeds. It will be hard to top this, but I have a feeling Lisa will cook up another amazing reason for everyone to travel to Detroit in the future. I left Detroit and returned to the West Coast just in time for the Field to Vase dinner at Cornerstone, the new Sunset Magazine Trial Gardens in Sonoma County. That stop allowed me to also spend a few days teaching with Dundee Butcher of Russian River Flower School in Healdsburg for another Slow Flowers Creative Workshop. Our time with the students was super rewarding, and if you've been following the podcast, you'll have heard the recent episode featuring Dundee and several of those participants. In November, Slow Flowers participated in the Association of Specialty Cut Flower Growers Conference as a sponsor. It was amazing to realize this was the fourth national conference I've attended since 2010, an opportunity to reconnect with so many creative and innovative flower farmers from across the U.S. and Canada, to hear their stories and to share my vision for a better way to connect consumers with the source of their flowers. What a year. And I didn't mention everything, just the travel highlights. As you can infer, I do not board an airplane without knowing where the flower farmers and floral designers are located at my ultimate destination. I take advantage of every opportunity to make connections and build bridges in this movement. If I can turn on the recorder to interview someone with a fascinating story, of course I will do that too. 2017 promises to bring many new connections, and I'm looking forward to perhaps meeting you while I'm on the road. Next, I want to talk about American Flowers Week 2016. For our year two of American Flowers Week, we definitely refined and focused the branding and the message, and consequently, the impact of the campaign. As you may have heard me say in the past, Slow Flowers produces American Flowers Week during the 7 days leading up to July 4th. I was inspired to launch this project in 2015 with encouragement from the team behind British Flowers Week, which is a few years older than ours. So this past June and July, American Flowers Week returned for its second year as a social media campaign to advocate, educate, and raise awareness about American flowers. In 2016, we benefited from the support of four sponsors: Certified American Grown, Syndicate Sales, Longfield Gardens, and Mayesh Wholesale. That financial support allowed me to commission our fantastic floral visuals and to share those images widely for others like you to use. That visual was hard to miss, a beautiful model wearing a red, white, and blue floral fro, the creation of Slow Flowers member Susan McCleary of Passion Flower Events in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Numerous flower farms donated their blooms to the cause, and I want to acknowledge them here. Cam Floor, Choice Bulb Farm, Ocean View Flowers, Oregon Coastal Flowers, Peter Court Roses, Resendez Brothers, and Sunshine Farm. American Flowers Week asked the Slow Flowers community to post photos of red, white, and blue flowers and designs on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag American Flowers Week. The one-week crusade encouraged everyone involved in flower farming and floral design to get involved and draw attention to the cause. Their enthusiasm, or should I say your enthusiasm, and efforts paid off in measurable ways. In a one-month period encompassing American Flowers Week, we generated more than 1.3 million impressions on Instagram and Twitter alone, not even counting Facebook. And that's up from 400,000 mentions during the same campaign period in 2015. That's notable, friends. One other noteworthy metric hints at the huge potential for those who get involved in American Flowers Week and use it as a marketing, promotion, and branding tool. Our friends at Town & Country Markets in Washington State, led by Melanie Cherry, ran in-store American Flowers Week promotions in their 6 grocery outlet floral departments. And according to Melanie, sales for their floral program as a whole were up 24% for the week over last year. All of the stores showed growth in their floral department. Get ready for 2017 when American Flowers Week continues during June 28th to July 4th. We've added more stories throughout the year to the blog at AmericanFlowersWeek.com to stimulate and spark your planning, so check that out. We have commissioned some amazing floral fashion shoots inspired by iconic American cut flowers, and I'm confident that 2017 will be bigger and better than ever as we encourage even more people to ask for American-grown flowers at the cash register and from their local florist. Having a single week devoted to promoting this message is a benefit you can definitely use to your advantage in your market. In 2016, we added more Slow Flowers resources for you. We launched the Slow Flowers community page on Facebook, which now has more than 1,000 members. It's a forum for you to share your creativity, your curiosity, and your story with kindred spirits. Please find us online and join in the fun. 2016 was also the year we began our relationship with PR Web to produce a series of 6 editorial lookbooks, image packages released to the press for stories and blog posts. All premium members of slowflowers.com are invited to submit images of their flowers and designs for inclusion in these beautiful themed campaigns. The first one, Harvest Home and Holiday, was inspiring, and it was picked up by countless news outlets across the country. The next package will be released in early January, showcasing American-grown Valentine's Day florals as an alternative to imported options. And just around the corner next month, in January 2017, I will launch the new online magazine, slowflowersjournal.com. It will be created entirely with Slow Flowers content from our members and friends. More details will follow soon. And if you have a story you want to suggest, reach out, please. I'll keep you posted when the site goes live. I want to thank the many wonderful guests who have appeared on the Slow Flowers podcast this year. Their generosity of time and talents inspired me greatly, and I know our listeners were equally motivated to respond to our conversations. My hope is that you can take one compelling idea or suggestion and adopt it for your own floral business from each episode. I also need to acknowledge and thank a few of the essential people in my life who made this year more gratifying and successful than if I walked it alone. First of all, thank you to my husband, Bruce Brooks. He is my cheerleader, my fact checker, my voice of reason, and more. His loyalty and support for all my Slow Flowers endeavors is without limit. Next, as my two-year commitment with the Field to Vase Dinner Tour comes to a close, I want to thank everyone involved in its creation and wish you the best for 2017. I won't be far away. Thank you, Casey Cronquist, Adrian Young, and Nisha Blancas for being such a great team. And I wish great things for former event manager Kathleen Williford as she moves on to new endeavors. I also have to give a shout out to the amazing staff, farmers, and board members of the Seattle Wholesale Growers Market. So much that I now know about the art and science of flower farming and flower marketing comes from these incredible human beings. They are my family, and I love them all. And finally, I have to thank the great editors who continue to accept my pitches and who hire me to create editorial content for their pages. Without their belief in my storytelling talents, I would have considerably fewer financial resources to invest in building slowflowers.com. Thank you to James Baggett of Country Gardens, my longtime friend and patron. He believes in American-grown flowers, and he loves it when I bring him a new story about a flower farm worthy of his pages. There are many other editors who have been supportive, and I must mention them here as well. Thad Orr and Jim Peterson of Garden Design Magazine, Stephen Orr and Jane Austen Miller Kearns of Better Homes and Gardens, Alicia Schwede of Flirty Fleurs, Laura Douglas of Alaska Airlines Magazine, Sean Alderman of Floral Business, and Travis Rigby and David Cokes of Florist Review, and so many others. We're closing up the year with more than 141,000 downloads of the Slow Flowers podcast. In fact, we ended the month of December as the all-time high for downloads and listenership. The show was downloaded more than 7,500 times this month alone. Wow, what a great way to end the year. And thank you to those who take the time to reach out and tell me how valuable this content is to you. A few weeks ago, we announced a giveaway of beautiful and compelling new books by my two guests for episode 275, Louisa Roebuck's Forage Flora and Heather Saunders' Flower House Detroit. We've randomly selected two winners, and I want to share their news with you. Jennifer McClendon is the winner of Forage Flora, courtesy of publisher 10 Speed Press, and Trish Perrell is the winner of Flower House Detroit, compliments of Casey Cronquist and the Certified American Grown brand. Your books will be shipped off to you in the new year, and I know you'll enjoy them thoroughly. Thank you to our lead sponsor for 2016, Certified American Grown Flowers. The Certified American Grown program and label provide a guarantee for designers and consumers on the source of their flowers. Take pride in your flowers and buy with confidence. Ask for Certified American Grown Flowers. To learn more, visit AmericanGrownFlowers.org. More sponsor thanks goes to Syndicate Sales, an American manufacturer of vases and accessories for the professional florist. Look for the American flag icon to find Syndicate's USA-made products and join the Syndicate Stars loyalty program at syndicatesales.com. A big bouquet of thanks goes to Longfield Gardens, providing home gardeners with high-quality flower bulbs and perennials. Their online store offers plants for every region and every season, from tulips and daffodils to dahlias, caladiums, and amaryllis. Visit them at lfgardens.com. Fond thank you to Arctic Alaska Peonies, a cooperative of 50 family farms in the heart of Alaska, providing high-quality American-grown peony flowers during the months of July and August. Visit them today at arcticalaskapeonies.com. And finally, thank you, Association of Specialty Cut Flower Growers. Formed in 1988, ASCFG was created to educate, unite, and support commercial cut flower growers. Its mission is to help growers produce high-quality floral material and to foster and promote the local availability of that product. Learn more at ASCFG.org. I'm Deborah Prinzing, host and producer of the Slow Flowers podcast. Next week, you're invited to join me in putting more American-grown flowers on the table, one vase at a time. And if you like what you hear, please consider logging onto iTunes and posting a listener review. If you value the content you receive each week, I invite you to show your thanks and support the Slow Flowers podcast with a donation. The button can be found on our homepage in the right column. Your contributions will help make it possible to transcribe future episodes of the podcast. The content and opinions expressed here are either mine alone or those of my guests alone, independent of any podcast sponsor or other person, company, or organization. The Slow Flowers podcast is engineered and edited by Andrew Brenlin. A very special thank you to Andrew for his tireless and loyal support. He shows up and edits this podcast week in and week out, and it's such a gift to work with him. Learn more at shellandtree.com.